Good to see all of you again this evening. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you are somewhat familiar with the Bible, then you know that this is the Hebrew writer's Hall of Faith chapter. And we're going to talk about faith tonight. And we're going to talk about a faith that... But we're going to ask the question, does our faith please God? You see, faith is that thing that is talked about quite a bit. And it's easily and oftentimes misunderstood, especially when you speak to people in the world around us. But it's not blind. And it doesn't take a blind leap. You don't jump without knowing where you're going to. It's not uneducated and it's not ignorant. A nominal faith is often claimed while living contrary to the truth. People say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to do what he says. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we have the Bible's definition of what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know that by memory, don't you? This verse defines and explains faith, a faith that saves souls. If we go back a chapter, in chapter 10 and verse 39, the Hebrew writer says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now go back to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, when we talk about faith, we look at verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, and this faith is the assurance of hope and the evidence of things unseen. So the question is, does our faith please God? The Hebrew writer continues in chapter 11, verse 6, and says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's like we talked about this morning. Having a zeal, that burning desire to seek out and to find God and to serve Him, to be pleasing in His sight. So does our faith please God? Does our faith perceive the divine design of everything around us? You see, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about that. In verse 3, the Hebrew writer says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. We live in a day and a time where people doubt or want to doubt or are willing to doubt that God spoke into existence everything around us. They believe what man wants them to believe instead of what God tells them. By faith, we understand what Moses wrote in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, that God said, let there be, and there was, and he saw that it was good. But our faith is a faith that understands. It is perceptive of what God's word tells us. It understands, and what that means is to exercise the mind to be able to comprehend what God has told us. And as we said earlier, faith is neither blind nor uneducated. How do you know that God created by speaking into existence everything? You've studied, haven't you? You've read the very words of God where it tells us this. So you're educated and you're not following by some blind faith. You study, as Paul would tell the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 15, and again in 1 Timothy 2 and 15, and 2 Timothy 3 and 16, where all scripture is God-breathed. But we consider the evidence and we draw the conclusion to come to faith because our faith understands. It understands that the design of everything around us comes from a designer, the first cause. We go to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. Every house built is built by someone, But he who built all things is of God. You know, to take man's supposition and understanding of everything would be like me going home up Coney Island Road. And if you haven't been up that way, they've got about 6 new houses on the left up there as you go up. Lucky for me, I've seen everybody building these houses. Otherwise, I might think that they just poof appeared one day. But I could see the gradual progression, and I've seen the people working and laying the block, digging the footer, putting the foundation up, putting the walls up, hanging the sheetrock, hanging the siding on the outside, putting the shingles on the roof. I've seen this. I have faith that they didn't just magically appear one day. I've studied the Word of God, and I believe God that when He says, I spoke into existence, that this is what happened. I understand that when He says it was built by Him, then yes, He built it. He who built all things is God. And by considering the evidence of creation, faith sees the very presence and power of deity, the Creator of God. That's what Paul tells us in Romans 1 and verse 20. But also faith perceives that the world was framed by God. Again, we go back to chapter 11 and verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He spoke into existence all that we see and all that we have around us. God spoke and it happened. The world exists from unseen things of God. Faith tells me, according to the definition in chapter 11 and verse 1, that God is real. And somebody might question me and try to trip me up and say, well, have you ever seen Him? No. Well, then how can you say that you believe in something that you've never seen? I can see His handiwork. I've seen the things that He has created, the things that He told me, tells me that He created. You might turn it back on and say, well, what do you breathe? Oxygen. Have you ever seen it? No. It's an invisible gas that you cannot see. But our faith perceives that the world was framed from the very Word of God and it exists on unseen things of God. Other than a written text, have you ever seen the Word of God? Have you ever seen it when He spoke to Moses? No. Did Moses see it when God spoke to him? Let me ask you something. Can you see the words coming out of my mouth right now? You hear them, but can you see them? And see, that's the same principle here. God spoke into existence. His very words is what created everything that we see. The psalmist talks about this in Psalm 33. The eternal power, the exercise of His word that we see in the book of Genesis, beginning with chapter 1 on up. The wisdom of God that we read about in Proverbs 8. The deity or the Godhead, the divine nature of God. All of these things are the unseen qualities of who God is. And they cannot reject divine creation as the origin of the world and have a faith that pleases God. You can't say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe He spoke into existence creation. I believe the Big Bang happened, and then I believe a piece of mud crawled upon the sandy bank of the pond and turned into a frog, and then went back into the water, turned into a fish, and then come out, and he turned into a monkey, and then he come out, and he turned into a man. Really? That's where you've got to at this point, is that you started with a piece of sludge out of a pond because two stars collided. Well, where did the stars come from? Where did the gases come from that caused the Big Bang? Something had to have a beginning. Even if it began from nothing, there's something that collided to cause the Big Bang. So our faith needs to perceive the divine design. But now let me ask you, does our faith act on the promises of God? We go back to Hebrews chapter 11, And we won't take the time to read it, but beginning in verse 7 down through verse 22, we have plenty of examples of people that acted on the promises of God. Their faith acted on the promises. You remember Noah? Chapter 11, verse 7 says he prepared an ark because of the word of God. God spoke to Noah and told him that the things that were about to take place were going to happen and you need to build an ark. What about people like Abraham, Sarah, when God made promises to them that they would have a child, and then Isaac comes along, and then Jacob trusted the word of God's promises that a great nation would be built from him. And that goes back to the promise Emiah first made to Abraham in Genesis 12. But it was repeated to Isaac in Genesis 26. It was repeated to Jacob in Genesis 28. The promise of a nation, the promise of land, and the promise of the sea. And you read in chapter 11 here, verses 8 through 22, and you see a summary of their faith where they acted upon what God told them to do based upon the promise that they would receive. These people that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 had a faith that was pleasing to God. Now, what kind of faith is that? It's a faith that obeys God. We go back to our text in Hebrews chapter 11, and we notice verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Faith caused Noah to believe. And it caused Abraham to obey, verse 8 there. Faith that saves is a faith that obeys. It's something that trusts in God's faithfulness when God tells us to do something. Drop down to chapter 11 and verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, that is God, faithful, who had promised. You're going to become pregnant. You're going to have a child. Even though you're past the childbearing years, she trusted in God's faithfulness. We live in a day and time where people doubt God. We say we have faith, but yet we doubt God. Because there's so much turmoil in our lives. There's so many things pulling at us, which are ultimately the devil. And it's easy for us to lose our trust in God's faithfulness. The Thessalonians, they trusted in God, they had faith, but they believed that the coming of the Lord was imminent. And they sold everything that they had and they sat down waiting on the Lord. You can't do that. Paul rebuked them and told them, says, you've got to get up and go to work. You've got to get up and live your lives, but live it trusting in God's faithfulness. In chapter 11, in verse 10, and then in verses 13 through 16, we see that a faith that pleases God is a faith that is sustained by hope, the very definition of faith. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 19, it talks about God's faithfulness and our hope. So now let's ask another question. Does our faith respect Christ above all? Let's go back to our text. And let's go to verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's commands. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Are you looking to the reward? You know, I got an email today, one of these spam emails, junk email. And I don't know who it was from, I don't care, but I noticed the title, Are You Ready for Tribulation? You see, that's what the world wants you to understand, that the time is at hand. Yes, we need to believe that the time is at hand, because like we talked about this morning, From T.B. Larimore's sermon in the 1900s, our life is but a beating heartbeat, a drumbeat leading to the grave from the very moment that we take our first breath as a baby. Do we have faith that respects Christ above all else? You see, our faith is not to be deterred by what man says. It's not to be challenged. It's not to be swayed by what society tells you that you should, the way that you should worship God. Our faith is not directed by earthly advantages. We just read verses 24 through 26, how Moses was willing to give up all of those things to suffer with the children of God. Are you willing to give up wisdom and power? That's what we read about in Acts 7. Are you willing to give up position and wealth? That's what we read about Moses in chapter 11 here in verse 24. What are you willing to give up to not have your faith directed by earthly advantages? You see, that's a question only you can answer. But our faith is to be deliberate. Again, we go back to verses 24 through 26 where we read about Moses just now. He made the choice. Faith makes choices after counting the cost. If I give this up because of my faith, am I going to suffer a financial loss? Possibly. If I give up family and friends for my faith, is it going to cost me? Yes. Have you counted the cost of what you're willing to give up to maintain a faith that is for Christ above all, with respect for Him? You see, our faith makes choices, but we have to count the cost as well. In verse 26, it talked about Moses was willing to give up the esteem from the Egyptian family, if you will, to lead before the mind, to suppose, to consider. He was willing to give up all that he had gained in the land of Egypt, being raised as Pharaoh's daughter's son. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39, Jesus tells there that faith, considering Him, is the most important thing that should be in our lives. But then faith will overcome tremendous odds. Let's go back to our text. And let's begin in verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Our victory must overcome. It will overcome whatever odds that you may face in this life. Tremendous odds, small odds, whatever odds you face that are going to tempt your faith, to test your faith, you can overcome whatever the devil puts in front of you. You see, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. That's the examples that we read of beginning in verse 29 through verse 24. The Hebrew writer says, I don't have enough pen and paper to tell you about all the examples of people that overcome because of their faith. He did talk about God's victories, though, at the Red Sea and the city of Jericho, verses 33 through 34. Tremendous odds. Remember how the people reacted when they went up to the edge of the Red Sea and they found Pharaoh and his chariots behind them? Well, we're dead. And God parted the Red Sea. Remember walking, marching around the city of Jericho, blowing their trumpets, and the walls fell? Our faith is in God. It's not in what man would tell us that we have to believe in. It's in God. The victory of faith comes with trials. You're going to face trials. There's no question. There's no doubt that you're going to face trials in your life. What helps you get through those trials is faith. That's the victory that we have. Their faith that we read about in chapter 11 calls us to a greater faith. Let's go back to our text. Except this time we're going to chapter 12. And let's notice verses 1 and 2. Based upon all of the examples that he's given us, beginning in chapter 11, he says in verse 1, therefore. That word therefore points back to everything that he's just talked about. All these examples. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I liken this great cloud of witnesses as a description of those mentioned in chapter 11. Because of their faith and overcoming their trials, it gives us a greater faith. It's like they have gone before us and they've cleared a lot of the stumbling blocks out of our path. You know, Faith Hall of Fame, I wonder sometimes if it only talks about those great Bible characters. Or if we could put people that were in our lives in that chapter because of their great faith that have helped us to develop the faith that we need to overcome tremendous odds. Maybe they have gone through and moved some stumbling stones from in front of us, as well as people like Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe they're in that great cloud of witnesses. Christ binds together the faithful of all ages. Look at verse 40 of chapter 11. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us, he provided Christ. Patient endurance brings the reward of faith. Now, these people that are talked about in chapter 11, these people of faith, they sought after God. They looked for him diligently. They had the zeal that we talked about this morning. And you know what? They found God. And they were found of God. In chapter 11, it talks about faith and it gives examples of their faith that pleased God. In chapter 11 and verse 6, it tells us that we have to have this faith in order to be pleasing to God. We look at the Bible and we read about characters like Abraham and Sarah who believed. We read about Isaac, who even though was being led upon the mountain to be offered as a sacrifice, went willingly. He questioned where the sacrifice was at. And when his father told him that God would provide, he went anyway. Faith. We don't always know the answer to everything that's before us. The trials, the tribulations that we're going through. But if we have faith, we understand that God will provide. We read about Jacob when he deceived his father, and yet he was still the inheritor of the promise that was given back in Genesis chapter 12. We read about Moses leading the children of Israel out of the promised land. An unwilling leader to an ungrateful people, and yet he still, because of his faith, led the people. We read about Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You serve who you want. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. The faith of a man like that, the faith of all of these people, should help guide us and to stir our faith. Our faith has got to be one that pleases God. Has to be. If our faith follows the examples of the people that the Hebrew writer talks about in chapter 11, if it follows their examples, then it pleases God. One final scripture. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Do you have faith? Better yet, do you have a faith that's pleasing to God? A faith that's pleasing to God is going to be an obedient faith, as we've seen from Hebrews chapter 11. Every example that we see there, all those Bible characters were all obedient to the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying they were obedient 100% of the time. They faltered from time to time. We notice Abraham did, remember? He lied about who Sarah was. And Sarah laughed when she was told she was going to have a baby. Jacob deceived his father and his brother Esau with the help of his mother. And still, they're listed in Faith Hall of Fame. We don't have to have perfect lives. We won't have perfect lives. But we need a faith that will overcome these imperfections. We need a faith that's going to find us pleasing in the eyes of God. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have a faith that's telling you that I'm not baptized and I know I need to be? This is your faith responding. This is a moment for your faith to respond. Do you have a kind of faith that wants to be pleasing to God and you realize I've got sin in my life and I need to correct that? You know, we talked about this morning that Paul said it's time to wake up. Our salvation is nearer today. With each passing day, we're drawing closer to the judgment. Do you have a faith that wants to overcome all the tremendous odds in your life to where you will be found faithful on that day? If you're here tonight and you find yourself in need of responding to the Lord's invitation,